Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, and welcome to a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. I would encourage you to follow or become a fan. I do a lot of giveaways. I just gave away ice cream gift card to Ben & Jerry's because July is National Ice Cream Month. So I figured, what the heck, you know, giveaway. I don't normally do that, but I normally give away books and CDs. I want to let you guys know that we are past 147,000 downloads of the podcast. Thank you, thank you. I could not have done that without you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing with your friends and family. I hope that you've enjoyed the shows and learned a lot had fun listening to them. This evening, wow, I am honored to have a wonderful actress. Many of you might know her from the TV show Soul Food. You might have seen her in Meet the Browns. She's also, you might have seen her in Lady Killers, which she won a jury prize in the Cannes Film Festival. She won an award for that role in Lady Killers. And she's been recently in a movie with Forrest Whitaker, Taraji P. Henson. She also works on Independence, which we'll be talking about. Her name is Irma P. Hall. Good evening, Ms. Hall.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much. We had a little trying to catch up with each other, and we finally got connected. I'm so happy about that, and I want to thank you again for calling in.
Well, I'm glad to get a chance to talk with you. I'm sorry I was out of pocket before. Sometimes I get kind of busy, so things
overlap. Oh, that's okay. I mean, it's good to be busy, especially in the entertainment business. That means you're still making money and doing your livelihood. So I think that's a great thing that you're getting a lot of work.
I am.
Yeah. So let's start from the beginning, though, because people may not realize you weren't always an actress. You started out as a school teacher. Talk to us about this transition from school teacher to now superstar.
Well, yes, acting was nowhere on my schedule of things that I wanted to do. I wanted to be a lot of different things. And there were some things in entertainment. I wanted to be a dancer at one time, or I wanted to sing with an orchestra. And I don't do either now, but I did study dancing from third grade all the way through college. But it wasn't for me, I found out. So, you know, it said that, you know, man has his plans, but God has his plans too, so he laughs at our plans.
And, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But what I'm doing, he knows what we're going to do and what we want it. He really knows what we're supposed to do. And if you just go along with his plan, you end up all right. So I'm enjoying this. I did not want to be a school teacher, especially, though. That was kind of funny because I fought against being a school teacher even while I was in school. I wanted to be something else first. I wanted to be a scientist, and then I wanted to be a buyer for a store. So I majored in French. And minored in Spanish with that intent. And I fell in love with school teaching while I was doing my student teaching, which we all had to do at Texas College. I fell in love with teaching. I said, oh, this is what I want to do. And I was doing that. But I also was the editor of our newspaper, the Texas Seer, in my senior year.
Okay.
So,
wow.
I really enjoyed that. I've always had this great affection for newspapers. I think because we took newspapers always in my home, and I was a Billiken when I was a little girl, so I could sell the paper to the people who lived in our apartment building. as far as I can tell.
Oh, okay.
But
I was telling you that I was reading that your father was a jazz musician. You were already introduced to the entertainment world by him.
Yes.
Did your mother perform, or was she an entertainer also, or no?
No, my mother sang with a group called the Delorelei. She had a beautiful voice.
And
it was a group, but they didn't travel anywhere. No, my mother worked at Providence Hospital as an admitting clerk in the clinic. And my father was, he was in what they used to call territorial bands, and he was playing with Milton Larkin's band. I think they were out of San Antonio at the time. And Joe Lewis. Bought a club, a nightclub, with Charlie Glenn in Chicago. And they called it the Rum Boogie, and he wanted.
I like that name, the Rum Boogie.
Oh, the Rum Boogie, yeah. And he wanted the band that my father was playing in to be their house band. So he saw an opportunity to move to Chicago, and so he joined. And unfortunately, the band, that first band, didn't stay in business because it was during the war, and so the band got drafted, and so that brought, so my father had to go back on the road for a while. But finally he stopped when I was 10 and started working for Joe Moe's company. But Dad used to come and pick me up from school and take me to rehearsal with him, because my mother at that time was working at Michael Reese Hospital. And the time when I got out of school was in conflict with the time that she got out from work. So
she was
my father just picked me up, and took me with him.
What instrument did he play?
Saxophone, clarinet, flute, all of those reasons.
Wow. Do you play any instruments yourself?
No. I play piano.
No.
His main was the baritone saxophone. That was his main instrument. So, unfortunately,
people,
I have a record. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have that entertainment blood in you, so to speak, and you were basically discovered, if you will say that way, by when you were reading your poetry. Talk to us about that moment, yes.
Well, what happened was I was a publicist for school where I was teaching. I would turn in our news. So it was the Dallas Express. And it was the oldest black newspaper in Dallas at the time. It was a weekly, and I went to see. They were in trouble because they were very understaffed, and I didn't want to see them go under. So I went and volunteered to see if I could help, and they did need someone. So they made me the entertainment editor and sports editor. That was kind of fun. Then a woman who used to take ads in our paper all the time, named Peggy Taylor, called me and told me that Raymond St. Jacques was coming to town to look at it as a possible location for a black film that he was going to make called Book of Numbers, and that I should interview him. So I interviewed him, and he liked the interview. He called me and asked me if I would work as publicist for his film. And I told him, sure, if you tell me what a publicist for a film did. It was a chance to learn something new. Uh-huh. And I belong to an organization called Advancing Artists and Writers, a bunch of artists here, and Nathan Jones and a lot of us, Othello Beck. They were artists, really. I was... A drawing was a hobby of mine, but I said, we'd get together. And I used to write down my thoughts because I had been encouraged all my life to do so. So, and I would read what I had written down to them. And Imani Pamoja, her name is Liz Thomas, but her African name is Imani Pamoja, suggested that we started a poetry group, so we did. And we would call you Huru.
And
okay. There were a number of us, and we used to do poetry. So we got we applied for and got a grant from the government to work with young people in the Lenski Shopping Center here in Dallas. And I told.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah, that was great. And I told Raymond about this, and he said, fine, that's where we'll do our main auditions then, and that'll focus attention on what you all are doing. So we were all there doing that. We didn't know any better. We didn't know that people needed to be quiet so they could read their script. And we had all our painting, of course, out, and the drummers were drumming, and everything was going on. And he heard me reading a poem that I had written and asked me to read for a part in the film. And I did read for the part of Georgia Brown to show you how dumb I was. And he was saying, oh, thrill, they said, you read so well. And I said, well, of course I can read. I teach school.
Of course,
I didn't even
right?
know what that meant. Yeah. I had no idea. So I did the part. It was just one day, I think it was about a paragraph. And he called me in afterwards and told me that he had seen the dailies and that he liked what I was doing. He was going to expand the role so that I would be throughout the film, in and out. I wouldn't have a lot to say but acting, because he said I was what they called an instinctive actor, and I should develop it. And I was raised to believe that when God gives you a talent, you're obligated to develop it. I didn't know how I was going to use it, because I told him that I had to. I couldn't stop teaching and go back to school to learn to be an actor. I was
actor, right. That takes a lot of money to go back again for another degree or something. I mean, you know.
Right.
Yeah, but you've done so much since then. I mean, you've been in Beloved. You were in The Lady Killers, which you won a Cannes. Did you get a chance to go to Cannes, or how did you find out that you won the award?
No, I had just had a major accident in 2004. And was getting ready to go. They had released me and said that I could go. I was using a walker at the time, but I was home only about 2 hours, and I had an attack of pancreatitis, and I had to go back in the hospital.
Oh my gosh! I had to go with them,
and I heard it on the I was in the nursing home at the time when I heard that I had won an award. It was I was shocked. But I enjoyed working with the Coen brothers. I enjoyed the film a lot, and the whole cast, they were really, really like family to me. They were like, these are my boys.
These are your boys. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm.
They were so sweet.
Now,
they came to see me in the hospital.
That's great.
Promotion tour. And then they arranged that we could see the film, and other members of other people who were there in nursing home could go and see it too. So, and it was, we got a lot of fun out of it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I mean, you won also an NAACP award for your role in Soul Food, where you played Mother Joe.
Right, the movie. That was a lot of fun. That was a blessing to get to do that, because I took the role because I read the script and believed in the it was an independent film. At the time. I was in L.A. working on two films simultaneously. I was working on Buddy, and on my off days, I was working on Steel, so with Shaquille O'Neal. So they came up to my room, and when I saw that the character's name was Mother Jo, and that's what my mother's name was, Josephine, my children called her Mama Joe. So I said, I believe I'm supposed to do this. And it turned out that I was supposed to do it. I really enjoyed doing it. And once again, the cast members, you know, they're like family to me, Vivica, and Nicole, and Brandon.
Were you nervous? Were you ever nervous? I mean, you played with so many great names, Forrest Whitaker, Taraji, like you said, Vivica, all these people. Did
right.
you ever get nervous when you were with them? Did you feel unsure, or you were just really confident, relaxed?
No, I think my daughters say I'm a case of arrested development. I still can play like children. So I would be nervous when I found out who I was going to be working with. And sometimes I'm nervous about that, and I'm nervous afterwards when I realized who I was working with. But when actually working, I'm so busy thinking about the character and being the character. So I was so busy doing that.
That you didn't have time to think about
No, I wasn't nervous about that. No, I was. I remember I worked with Jason Robard, and way after I had worked with him, and I said, I worked with Jason Robard. But at the time, you know, we were just, we were our characters. So I think Reginald Montgomery, unfortunately, he died. But he was the first black clown with Ringling Brothers. He came to Dallas, and he was the one that started me in theater. We formed a theatrical group here called the Dallas Minority Repertory Theater. And I was thinking I was just going to be a fundraiser because I had some experience in fundraising, and found out that I was actually going to work in theater. And I think, like I said, the innate talents that God gave me, I never grew up. I never stopped being able to pretend and pretend so hard until it was real or get into character. So
that's
a lot.
Well, that's great.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now, you also play with James Earl Jones. I mean, he's a, like,
James
icon.
Jones and Robert Duvall, my two nephews. And they're still...
Your two nephews? Oh, my God, listen to you.
Yeah, they're still like my two nephews. I just got through working this in 2011 in the summer on a project, a Billy Bob Thornton written project. Called Jane Mansfield's Car. I got a chance to work with Robert Duvall again. I think it was about 18 years between. But I had gotten.
Now, when is that one coming out? Did that one already come out?
They say that it's supposed to be, I think, 2013. But I don't know exactly when. Yeah, we have to watch for it. But Billy Bob Thornton also wrote A Family Thing, which was the film where I played the blind aunt of Robert Duvall and James Earl Jones, and I got a chance to actually work with Billy Bob Thornton. I didn't even get a chance to see him while we were doing the film because he was working on Sling Blade at the time. So it's a very interesting field to work. And I found out though the way it is to me, that I'm still teaching. I'm just teaching in a different form. So
okay,
started,
through your acting.
Yeah,
through your acting,
right.
You're teaching, you know. Well, that's wonderful. Now, you're working on a film, or you worked, I'm sorry, they've wrapped on The Hiding in Plain Sight. I had some of the other actors on, and that film is dealing with the issue of, you know, middle-class families due to the recession becoming homeless. So how did you connect with M. Legend Brown for Hiding in Plain Sight?
Well, I was at the film festival. I met he and not all of the characters who were in that, but I met Charisse Henry. She was and I met them there, and I was they had the film in the festival. And I was, I got to know them then, and I told them that I was available, and I would read scripts, and if it was something that I thought was of value, and that, and if I had the time, that I worked in independent films. I'm very interested in them because They're different. They're fresh. They're new. They get a chance to really tell the story they want to tell. They have more leeway in telling stories than the regular Hollywood films, kind of stuck in a box
about what. Right. And also the images that they're portrayed, in terms of African Americans, Latinos, Native Americans. A lot of independent films are able to highlight, other cultures. In a different way.
Well, yeah, like I said, they get a chance to tell the story they want to tell. And also, this was a story that most people would not think of as being something that they want to put on the big major screens in hopes of getting a wide audience. But it's so funny because I've been in many films that started out as independent films, like Soul Food did, and Book of Numbers was also, because that was Raymond's concept, his idea, and he got someone to back him. And all films started out that way, and there are interesting lessons to be learned in all of them, but I especially enjoy working with the young people. I think, too, because I taught high school all the from 1960 to 1984.
For a long time. Yeah, like 20-some years.
So I think that because I like to work with young people, too, and you have a lot of young people working on films in the independent film industry, so I enjoy doing that.
Do you like film better than theater, or do you like theater? Which one do you seem to like more? Do you like them both?
I like them both. Of course, theater is the mother. That's where I learned my craft. I didn't know upstage from outdoors we did. I didn't know. We did Happy Ending and Douglas Stern Awards piece. I think a lot of actors have done that. A lot of prominent actors have done Douglas Stern Awards and pieces. So this is where I learn. And if I stay off stage too long, I feel like I need to get back on stage. I need to brush up my craft. So and so I take one from the other. I learned that on stage I able to do what I learned on film, and I'm able to do it more quickly because you have to find your characters and commit to what you're doing a lot more quickly on film. So then I take that backstage, and so it just kind of goes back and forth. Well, I've even worked in radio.
Look at there. So what advice would you give to young people? Because, usually people start out in this industry, they might be 18, 23, whatever, very young, and they're really struggling, and, they get turned down a lot. It's like for every 50, you get like two yeses, you've been so fortunate. What would you tell them to keep them going?
Oh, I've gotten turned down a lot. I was a day player from 1972 to 1995 when I did a family thing. I was a day player. So you go to the auditions and there's a room full of people and they're all auditioning for the same roles, So, and it's up to the director who they choose to work in the film, whoever looks most like and sounds most like what they see in their heads. That's what it's all about. It's not personal. So, and I teach them that, when I'm talking with them, I have a little class that I do teach from time to time until you want to be an actor. And the thing
it's very hard on your ego. I mean, you go in, like you said, there's all these people. But, as an actor or actress, people, they're very sensitive, I think. Most performers are very sensitive. And that can be good, but then it's bad when you're constantly getting rejected. You got to get a tough skin, to deal with that.
Right. But, you get used to that. It's because you realize that it's not personal. So the main thing is that you know your craft, and this is what I encourage and I tell them all the time. Know your craft and that your attitude plays a part.
Wow.
And
so how you're carrying yourself, into the audition and whatnot is important.
Yeah, it's very important. And you don't take audition seriously. You just keep on auditioning. They always having auditions somewhere, someone. You will be what they had in mind. And they're hoping when you come in there that you are what they had in mind. So it's nothing personal. But you must know your craft, and you must have a good work ethics and good attitude. Because when you're working in film, you're talking about people's time and money, and you can't waste it, and they can't waste it because you don't have it to waste. So
right, you can't just do 16 takes of one scene because, you know, you don't know your lines or something like that.
Yeah, right. You have to know your lines. Come ready to work, you know, and let them know that. So this is very, that's, I think, some of the most important things that you have to do. And like I said, you really have to know your craft. So study your craft and take every opportunity, even if you're learning on the job like I did, because I was continuously learning as I went. But I had those other things. And just stick at it, because I was 36 years old when I made my first film. Book of Numbers came out in 1972. Because I could not work at my craft, I decided what I wanted to do. I wanted to be portray older women because they're very important to me. And this is a choice I made, and I prayed about it. And I think if you're supposed to do it, you know, then the Holy Spirit will lead you to that. And I ask for guidance all the time. So I constantly work on that. And,
following what God has a plan for you, like you said earlier, is that you didn't know you were going to be an actress, but then it happened. I'm sorry, Ms. Hall, we've run out of time tonight, but I want to thank you, you know, so much for coming on, and but it goes by so fast.
Right.
Well, we have a couple more minutes. We have about 3 minutes left, but dealing with the issue of homelessness. And talk to me about your role. Talk to me about your role in there.
Oh, well, to me, I play a minor role in that. I am just the grandmother of this family. But it is so important that this story be told, because there are so many more people than people realize who are homeless. Because they don't see them lying on the streets or lying in the gutter or on the park bench or something. But there are many, many people who live in their cars, and they're still functioning every day, but they're sitting in their cars. And it does take a toll. And they have children. They have children in schools. They're going to school, but this has an effect on school kids, too. So
yes.
You know,
One of the actors told me in their research they found out that a school in Texas had hired a person to help with all the homeless children that were still trying to go to school and help them get resources and go to, you know, because it is a bit of a epidemic in a sense that people don't see because they're not sitting on the street, you know, but it is a problem. Yeah,
it is a problem. And they need to know that, and they need to know that our teachers need to know that, and they need to be taught how to deal with those kids when they're training to be teachers, so that it doesn't come as a complete surprise to them, because maybe they didn't grow up that way. Chances are they didn't. They came from a house or a home. So, and they need these kids, they need to be taught, they need to be understood, they need to be dealt with. And so this is why this is such an important film. But it's not the kind of a film, like I said, that someone's going to just get and put on a big screen for entertainment, because it has more value than
But you guys are having a screening in September, right, in Texas,
September,
I believe?
Right. September the 8th, we're having a screening. So
people can come and support that.
Right. And
yeah.
I'm glad that I had a part in it. I'm so glad.
Oh,
because
well,
these kids have grandmothers, and they have rest of the family, too. And a lot of times, members of the family, like the grandmother, didn't even know it. They'd been living in that car for a long time. I didn't even know it. A lot of these people that you see who are living in their cars and so forth and so on, the other members of the family don't even know it because they keep it hidden and they keep on going like they're going. So it's very important that they see this. Yes.
Well, September 8th in Dallas, Texas, you guys are going to have a screening, and I believe the website is Hiding in Plain Sight.
That's right. That's the website.
So you can look that up. So people, if you were interested in learning more about that film or getting a ticket, check out Hiding in Plain Sight website. And thank you so much, Ms. Hall, for coming on.
Legend.
And I,
right.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I say, or they could look up M. Legend's site and get information.
Oh, yeah, M. Legend Brown.
Yes, M. Legend Brown.
M. Legend Brown, he's the director. So, yeah, either one of those. Look those up and support the independent films in Texas or wherever you are. You're in New York, you're in Philadelphia. Support the independent films because they get a voice that's usually not heard out to the public. Thank you so much, Ms. Hall.
Okay, I'm on Facebook. They can find me, and then they can go to Indie Buds and find out what's happening in independent too.
Okay, check her out on Facebook, Irma P. Hall. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Have a nice evening.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I just got off the phone with actress Irma P. Hall. You might have known her from the movie Soul Food. She was in Beloved. She won a Cannes Film Award for her role in Lady Killers. She's played with James Earl Jones and Forest Whitaker, Vivica Fox, and so many I can't even continue to name. Check her out on Facebook, Irma P. Hall. And check out the movie she just played in, Hiding in Plain Sight. They're going to have a screening in Dallas, Texas, September 8th. And also the director's name is M. Legend Brown, so you can look up his name and find out about that film. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Tune in Saturday, 11 o'clock. I'll be speaking with author Susan Fales Hill about her book, Imperfect Bliss. And at 11:30 this Saturday, I'll be speaking with author and journalist Rachel Swarns about her book, American Tapestry, that deals with the ancestry of the First Lady, Michelle Obama. So I hope to see you then. Have a wonderful evening.